Well, Conte to part Euro. If Italy win the Euros and Immobile's top goal scorer, I'll sing the entire song to you in Italian.
Hey!
Myself and Immobile on top.
For the best Euro 2020 coverage, download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the OTB Football Podcast.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.
Very happy to say Ronan O'Gar is with us. Hey, Ronan.
Yeah, Joe, how are you?
Yeah, very well, very well. So look, people think we're all very prepared here in the media and we have planned out this whole section. You have no idea what I'm going to talk to you about.
Well, that's good. It doesn't make for a change.
No, it doesn't. So listen, I was going to throw something at you. The Lions is sort of in the ether at the moment. We'll get on to, I'm sure we'll talk about La Rochelle again a couple of times before the end of the season. But the Lions in the ether. And I was just thinking with you, and this is, I hope you don't mind me even saying this. When I think of the Lions with you, the two things which jump to mind and probably a lot of people's minds, you can probably guess them, would be the Duncan McRae moment and the second test in South Africa. Now, we've talked to you about them a bunch before. People can listen back to it and get it on podcast or in the videos. I was hoping if we could, let's park those two, because I know about them. I've no sense if you enjoyed your Three Lions tours, if you found it so-so, if you're disappointed with how they went on the whole. So I was hoping to chat to you about Lions beyond McRae and beyond the second test. That was the plan for this evening, if you're up for it.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't want to skip by them too, because the other two were probably... certainly the second test was a monumental moment. And yeah, that was as low as a... as I've ever felt in rugby, in the aftermath of that, for the really reasons, as I've explained, particularly with Paul being captain. And that was particularly disappointing. The 0-1, just getting the head boxed off, that just kind of happened. And it didn't really play much on my mind. You know, it looked bad for people that don't play the game. And I mean, he lost the plot, obviously, in that moment. I should have defended myself better, obviously, but that's what happened. But there was, you know, I mean, three tours, as you said, there was so much goes into all of them. Mm. And very, very special times.
Well, let's jump off on Owen then. So you're 24 years of age. Graham Henry's obviously the coach. Donal Lennon involved as team manager.
24? I don't know. I was that age, Joe. Was I? Was I that old?
Yeah, you were. I thought you'd be younger as well, funny enough. You looked younger. But you're born in 77, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. Yeah. So yeah, I would have been 20.
You were 24 in March. Yeah. I see. To me, you looked about 20.
And physically, I looked about 16.
So I have it here for people who can't remember. You played four tour games: Waratahs, Western Australia, New South Wales, the Brumbies. Scored 26 points. So in 0-1, it was you. It was a 30-year-old Neil Jenkins, and of course, it was Johnny Wilkinson. So curious on being around Wilkinson. Obviously, did you have any qualms about him starting? Like, did you think, fair enough, this guy's different level, or did you think you were neck and neck with him? Tell us about the Wilkinson dynamic.
He was different level. That was the eye opener for I think to accelerate my career, that tour, because obviously 2 years later England won the World Cup. So these guys were in their prime, and most of the English pack played on the Lions test team, obviously, and there was an awful lot of them on the tour. But I think it defined what work rate is, an appetite for perfection, and I suppose questioning, especially what happened to me in Northampton, missing those kicks and twicking them, where you had a technique that was good, but it wasn't bulletproof. And just to watch a master at his work, which Johnny Wilkinson is with in his kicking game, there'll be other parts of it that I probably... I wouldn't agree with in his approach, and we can get into that some other time, in the fact that everything is very, very methodical, while in the kicking game, you know, in the out half position, in the phase game especially, you don't know whether you have, you mean, 3 or 4 seconds to kick the ball, or you've 0.3. But everything with Johnny was, I can picture perfectly this day, you kind of spiral the ball into the ground, catch it, run 1-2-3, kick, run 2-3 after the ball. You ask him to do right foot spirals, left foot spirals, and he'd absolutely put on an exhibition every time. Yeah, I can remember the first week in Pennyhill Park, I think we stayed that year, and I don't think I got beyond 7 o'clock at night before I was sound asleep, which is strange, you know, in terms of absolutely shattered, because I think we were kicking maybe at 7 a.m. at breakfast, so I was kicking probably 7.30 to 8.30 a.m., kicking after the pitch session at midday to maybe 1.30, and then kick at the end of the day from maybe 5.30 to 6.30, dinner, shower, bed, repeat.
Yeah.
It sounds grim to a lot of people. I absolutely loved it.
And how did you get on with Wilkinson as a person?
Yeah, I got on great, and I always did get on, but I think, as we know, I suppose to have the career he had, there's that obsessive factor with him and with me as well, I suppose, to a little bit. And it would have been a really friendly relationship when we'd meet after Ireland England games, but then because of the competitor, I suppose he was more than I was, contact was at a minimum in that regard. We used to discuss a lot of kicking, and I can remember at times when he was looking for confirmation or potential manipulation of his game that he was in contact a few times, which was I suppose a very big compliment.
Yeah, huge. I wouldn't say he was picking the brain of many people. You mentioned there how hard the Lions trained that year. So Graeme Henry, he gave a really interesting interview a couple of years ago on New Zealand radio. I was listening to it, and he was saying of that Lions series, I wasn't ready for the Lions. We could have done so much better if I'd been better as a coach. And he was also coaching Wales still at the time then. Matt Dawson, I'm sure you remember all this, but just to jog people's memories, Matt Dawson, even like in his diary, slammed the preparation. He said like it was a unbelievably harsh regime. They were treating the players like children. And I think one or two other players said, yeah, you know, we worked incredibly hard. You mentioning there how hard you worked kind of triggered that in my mind. So Graeme Henry and how the tour was run, was it tough going and unenjoyable? Like, we hear that about 05 a lot. Was 01 tough going as well in that respect?
Oh, no, it was a dream. It was a dream tour for me, and the fact that I think that question would have a different... I suppose the potential responses to that question would be so varied, Joe, and the fact that a 24-year-old to a guy who is on a second tour or experienced can give a valuable input. For me, I had probably been selected ahead of Gregor Townes, and I was absolutely buzzing. It meant everything to me. This is where you kind of... you dream of playing for Conn or for Cork Conn, then you go for Munster, then you play for Ireland, then the greatest of all is going on the Lions tour. So I was living it. I don't remember Graeme Henry ever. Phil Larder, the defence coach, got stuck into me a few times in training, but that was obviously to be expected because I needed to work on that side of my game, and there was no softly approach with Phil. It was kind of, you mean north of England, get into these guys, and he got into it. That was perfect. I like that approach. Maybe I was naive, but I think that didn't register one bit with me. No, I think it was for me, it was a fantastic period to grow my game, and it culminated with an unbelievable game against the Brumbies, I think it was, where we came from behind to beat them in a great game. And I mean, it doesn't have to be a test match for you to have that, I suppose, inner battle of you getting the best out of yourself. And for me, I think it definitely accelerated my development by a number of years.
05, you're 28 years of age, you're in New Zealand. You play six matches there and you get your Lions test appearance in the third test as a sub. And then in 09, obviously, you're 32. The common factor in 05 and in 09 is Stephen Jones. So Wilkinson is playing at 12, as you'll remember, in 05. And it's, I guess it's you and Jones on the 05 tour and on the 09 tour looking for that 10 jersey. I was just doing a bit of reading. You had a good relationship with Jones. This didn't get too messy or too unhealthy a rivalry.
No, because it has nothing to do with Stephen Jones, nor any of the players going on this tour. The coaching staff will have their idea of the team. And as I know, I'm a coach, we can get it wrong spectacularly as well. And it's only your opinion or this group of players. If there was to be a Lions team picked in the morning by a different coaching group, you can be sure that it wouldn't be unanimous at all or anywhere near that, I would think, especially nowadays with the choice out there. But I have a very good relationship with Stephen Jones, very good relationship with Johnny Wilkins. You spend a lot of time with these players and within 3 days, once you realise what the Lion stands for, you become very, very attached to it, to achieving something as a group. And you look at the 97 team, what they did, and
yeah,
probably the ultimate, what that group of players have done. But 05, I was playing more on the midweek team, obviously, in that. And we had a good run of games. But like Johnny Wilkinson was playing 10, and there's no question, or he was 10 and 12. And as you appreciate too, I suppose Gats was the coach, Stephen Jones was his 10. I see how that works. 09, I felt I was after winning two European Cups in 06 and 08 Grand Slam before we went on that trip. I was flying and I was probably pretty confident I'd be picked for the first test, and then I didn't get selected. That was shattering. I remember Lions was poor in the first half and I was certainly come on at halftime, no nod. And I often question myself, was that decision at the end of the second test due to frustration trying to force your hand? But I think I was pretty knocked up at that stage, but that's not an excuse. I don't think the execution and the decision making I wouldn't change, but of the kick, yeah, the timing of the jump is something that you'd like to have back.
And 09 then, because that was the one where I thought, geez, you might have a bit of a grievance about not starting. In the warm-up games, Jones was playing a few, you were playing a few. Did you feel like you were playing okay? Did it come as a bit of a surprise to you? Can you remember getting the news from McGeeken, I presume it was, that you weren't starting, or how did that go ahead of the first test?
Yeah, no, I got named, but I think captain for the game on the Wednesday night. So
okay,
that was
a bad sign.
that is the one captaincy you don't want. So that was brilliant, but oh no.
And you said shattering.
Shattering, yeah.
Probably because this is it. At 32, it's now or never.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, and I think you have to be realistic in 01 and 05. You know what I mean? In 01, not a chance of playing, and rightly so. Brilliant to be on the tour. 05, Johnny Wilkinson was there. But after the first test, you could see that was probably one of the best, if not the best, New Zealand teams of a long, long time. And when Dan gave that exhibition in the cake tin, you could just see that they were nearly, there's a big difference in class here. So from that point of view, you didn't feel like you were missing out, because if you're playing, you want to be winning. Yeah. In 09, it's very, very different. I had worked for 4 years to try and play, dominate a test game, but that didn't happen, especially at altitude. It was so easy to kick the ball. It was so, like, in where Morley Stain plays, his home ground, and the Bulls, what's the name of that, Joe Loftus, is it?
I think so, I'll double check.
I remember kicking the morning of the game, and it was like, oh wow, this is going to be, I need to get a taste of this, because it was just so easy to kick.
Mm. 05 is talked about as a tough tour, you know, single rooms, massive squad, the dirt trackers on one bus, the main lads on the other bus. Did you find all of that difficult? I don't hear many people saying good things about 05.
Yeah, they got it wrong. It was particularly, you should never room as players on your own, I think. I think there's potential cases if you're away for more than whatever, 3 months, and you'd like a little bit of time for, if you have family, to Skype your kids and stuff. But I think you create great relationships and important time together in the room with whoever you're rooming with. And yeah, I still remember the guys I roomed with in 01. And
go on, give us your roommates that jump to your mind now from any of the two tours, I guess, that you did room. Who did you click with?
I clicked with a lot of them, but I can remember in 01 it was, I think it started with Mike Catt, went to Mac Dawson, went to Rob Howley, to Will Greenwood. So a lot of the backs, you know. And then 05, it was you could feel, but when you're part of that tour and you're in the bubble, it looks far worse to the people on the outside, because you're trying to prepare and give yourself the best chance. But like towards the end of that tour, everyone was just, the team spirit was gone.
And of Henry's, say, plan, and then into Woodward's, and then what you did in 09, was the game plan pretty similar? Would it change a lot? Was it pretty easy to get your head around, because it had to be easy because you wouldn't have much time together?
You had more time than you thought. I think, like, if you had 2 weeks preparation, that's a lot of time in terms of game plan, Joey. There's a few ways you can play it, but after a few meetings, you'd want to be getting the plan. You know, it's never too complicated. I don't think that was the reason. 01 was definitely a Lions test series that should have been won. 05 was a mismatch. 09, we could have won, and it would have been brilliant. But I think, you know, I suppose the common in 09, it was a lot of Warren's plans and play, but the thing about Gats is he always gave you, I suppose, authority or autonomy to play the game as you saw it as well, especially as a number 10.
And did you like, were you a good tourist? Did you like hanging out in the team room and, you know, say to Matt Dawson or Will Greenwood, who you might know that well, let's go get a coffee? Did you really enjoy all that, or was it too much of a sickener not starting? What kind of a tourist were you?
No, I did, of course, but this is the Lions, Joe. This is unbelievable. This is what you work every day for. This is where you want to be. This isn't tough. It was disappointing because you're not getting the results. But like, if you were winning, everything would have been rosy. But like going to New Zealand in winter, in the depths of winter, after a long season, it's tough. But I think, as the boys in 17 showed, it can be done.
The 09 one seems to have been a lot of fun, a little bit old school again.
Yeah, it was brilliant. I think Paulie really got the respect of the players and of the group, and he got the tone right, and he had, you know, I mean, music and beers and jokes and just easygoing, natural fun. And a lot of the Welsh boys like a good laugh, and they were very much on board. And I think they were fascinated with Paul's speeches. And it really, Mike Phillips and Andy Powell were really broke the ice. And it was a very, I suppose, connected group, which is the ultimate compliment. It was a team that played for each other. And as you saw in that second test, the physicality of it, people really went hard for each other.
Yeah, that second test talked about maybe the most physical most of those players had been involved in.
Yeah, it was. I've seen a few of the images, and some of the shots put on were incredible.
Did your size go against you for selection in 09, like big South African team? Is that what their thinking was, do you think?
I don't know, size got to, maybe defence came into it.
Well, yeah, I sort of meant that as well, yeah.
You can say that, Joe. I won't be offended.
No. Well, our perception, obviously, size, defence goes hand in hand. They were probably fearful of giants running down your channel.
Yeah, exactly. But you got to make your tackles. Obviously, I missed one for their try. Got bounced, but I think that was probably the fifth guy in a row. But I'm sure that was probably if you're in that selection meeting, that was probably my Achilles heel. There's no doubt about that because running the game and kicking would have been strengths, especially at attitude. I get it too in the fact that if it was my Irish coach coaching the Lions, I'm sure I would have been starting 10.
Yeah, that does tend to be a factor. So on the whole, because at the start I parked, okay, the McRae thing you said isn't that big a deal. I'm sure the second test in South Africa 09 is still a huge disappointment. So I parked them at the start. If we bring them back into the picture then and ask you for your overall feeling about the Lions, it still sounds like ultimately this was a massive deal for you. Like, this was the dream. You really, really enjoyed it, even if, you know, you didn't get quite to be the main man you would have loved to be on one of the tours. It doesn't seem like that kind of tainted it for you in a huge way, which I was wondering, would it?
I think with a bit of, I suppose, distance between the events, you'd be pretty happy with going on three Lions tours, but you'd be devastated with the way the second test ended. I mean, that was a big moment in a massive sporting occasion, and I let a lot of people down, and that doesn't sit easily with Chippa. It's not the first time I've done that, and it won't be the last time I've done that. So that's what happens, I think, when you're the better you are as a sports person, the more, I suppose, times you put yourself in these positions that you're going to fail. It happened in Twickenham recently. It happened as a player in 09, and it happened after 09, and it'll happen again.
Yeah. But you can't look at it that way either. It's one moment of a million moments across two games. It happened to be at the end, but you can't say you let everyone down. You can't think that way either.
No, but sure, my moment was the key moment, and that's, you don't brush it under the carpet either, Joe. I think that's been a good thing over the years. You learn really important lessons from it, and it makes you better, it makes you stronger, and it gives you the appetite to go again. That's what you intend doing, but you've got to take the rough with the smooth.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm sure we'll probably touch on the Lions at some stage over the next few weeks with everything going on. Remind me, La Rochelle, obviously, regular season is over. You skipped the quarterfinal weekend. Is it semi-final weekend this weekend?
Yeah, we're 48 hours out, Joe.
Okay, great.
So, massive weekend, Joe. Everyone's off to Lille. Two semi-finals are in Lille on Friday night. Friday night we play Racing. Saturday night, Toulouse play Bordeaux. And the final in the Stade de France the following Friday. So it's starting that now.
Well, I'm not going to jinx you. I'm only talking to you when you win the whole thing outright, all right? That's the plan. No, seriously, best of luck. Huge game, obviously. Really hope it goes well for you, and we'll keep an eye out.
Good man. Thanks,
all right,
Sean.
See you later. Ron Lagar there. La Rochelle coach. Italy have taken the lead against Switzerland, 28 minutes on the clock. So Italy in control against Switzerland, and very much on top of this game in so much as I can tell, glancing down at it over the last half hour or so.
The OTB Podcast Network with GetSetGo. Are you ready for quick start car insurance? Get a quote today at GetSetGo.ie.